I'm sorry. Amen. Thank you, Nate. Thank you, Peter, for your music ministry. Appreciate you so much. So good to be here. I feel like it just feels so strange. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord. And yeah, we are the house of the Lord. Praise God. Amen. I'm good to have everyone online tonight. So thankful for my family. Thankful for my wife that I'm sure would want to be here. But taking care of the children, and just so thankful for them as well. Oh, thank you. Wonderful. Wow. Praise God. So many people online. God bless you all. Tom, so good to have you with us too as well. Just appreciate you. I love you. I wish I could fellowship with you right now. Uncle Paul, I sure miss your horn. So I just so excited for when we could, as the day approaches, even more so, be together as well. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Brother Alfred, when you get back, you got to teach us that song, number 306, so we can learn that one. Or maybe record it, and we'd love to hear it. Amen. Well, I think I did more driving tonight than I have in the whole month of April. I looked at my mileage on my car, and it said I spent $8 and change in gas in the month of April. And just what a change in the fluctuation of things, and it's been really a blessing in some ways. And you can say, "Oh, Stephen, I'm not trying to gloss over anything, but it's something that the Lord's doing in it. It's so wonderful, and I really enjoy it. I'm really thankful for it, because I've heard someone say, whenever God takes something away, it's a positive. And I know that it's the government that's putting these things in place, but yet we know that God is sovereign, and Satan can't do anything unless God allows it. So we know that this is Satan's Eden, but yet we know that God is the one that's sovereign over all. So we thank the Lord for that. Oh, so good to see you, Brother Don. So good to see you, Jesse. Amen. This is wonderful. Yeah. So good to see you, Nate. I miss our fellowship with each one of us, and it's no words can be said. And thank you, Derek, for doing those fellowships in the afternoon on Sundays. We've only gotten to one, but it was wonderful, the one I got to. Highly encourage everyone to be able to join. I know that you have to have a talking stick, because you can usually have her one person at a time. But it's really enjoyable. I just want to just say how much I've enjoyed as speaking for all the musicians and those that have led songs. Thank you so much for all the songs shared. It's just been such a blessing. Oh, I can't say how much it's been a blessing. And I believe we've had more songs, more specials outside of church than we have in church. So praise God. Hopefully that's a foretaste of when we get back together. And I need to be on the front lines of that too. So tonight, just wanted to speak a little bit on waiting on the Lord. We live in such a season right now, temporarily, of sitting. You know, in Wisconsin, they call it a sit-in. They don't call it, quarantine or shelter in place. They call it a sit-in. And so they're labeling it that way, so it sounds probably a little bit more agreeable than maybe shelter in place sounds a little bit more like maybe the bombs are coming or something. I don't want to joke about it, but it does seem a little bit, a tense. And of course, working at Costco and mandatory masks and all that, you know, it's getting people riled up. But we've noticed it's a lot of blowing off steam, that, you know, people are under pressure. We know that. And I was thinking, saints of God, how that we don't realize what a privilege we are to be Christians. To think that so many people are on the edge of bankruptcy, the edge of mental bankruptcy, they're living on the edge. And so something like this, circumstantially, is putting people over the edge and in a deep depression. I was talking to a lady who says, I am very depressed, and I can't go see people. And I said, you know, well, you know, just mention this and that. Nope, I don't have any really any friends. I go to the casino and I go to the bar. That's what I do for friends. And I like meeting new people. So that's, the bars are closed and the casinos are closed. So I don't really have any social network. And I think, oh my, to think that even those people are being put in a place of to be quiet, and to they're in a place of desperation. And that's a good thing. You know, you almost see that we're cut off from a lot of things that are horrible. You know, all the sports arenas with all the ungodly cheerleaders and all that garbage is no longer there. You know, of course, spiritual pollution and physical pollution are both, you know, going down, as you've seen the before and after pictures. And I think that we could say, well, praise God, this is a revival for our country, but we know that's not true. But just to see that there's a condition and people are waiting for this thing to be over, and they're really waiting and waiting, and just really just feel like that's a good tone to really go into waiting tonight. So why don't we just go into it? Let's just turn to Revelation chapter 3. And I was thinking about this. There's so many things that encompass waiting to gird us up in a time of waiting. You know, isn't it amazing how, just to give a preface, waiting can make us more nervous and more antsy in our flesh carnally, right? And then waiting can also renew our strength when it's spiritually in the Lord. Isn't it interesting? One kind of waiting wears us down, and one kind of waiting strengthens us up and brings us into the heavenlies. Praise God. And it all just depends on what we're waiting for. And what are we yoked with? You know, are we running with patience the race that is set before us? Are we looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith? What are we looking at? Amen. Revelation chapter 3. And let's just go down to verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be... Oh, let's just stand on the word. Thank you. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And let's go down... And to verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee in the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world. To think it'll come upon all the world, the hour of temptation. To try them that dwell upon the earth, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man... that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the house, in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is the new Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Let's just ask the Lord's blessing. Heavenly Father, please quicken your word to our hearts, Lord. We want to hear from you this morning, this evening. Speak to your people, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You might say, well, what does this have to do with waiting? You know, can't you just hit a word search for waiting and just come up with a scripture? But it's back in verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee in the hour of temptation. And we know that Abraham was a good example of that, of keeping the word of patience for 25 years. And you look at in the Bible, and you could say one of Satan's greatest weapons against us is time, because we're not in eternity. You know, you always hear the villain, he always says, you know, when he's captured the hero, you see, he can say to him, "It's okay, I got nothing but time." And he's wanting to wear down the hero of the story. He's got nothing but time to break that person, to lay siege to that person's soul. And now we know that Satan wants to do that to us. You know, if we're in this as we hear so many times, there's the Alpha and there's the Omega, and then we're in the in-between, in that time right there, in between. And that's the hard part, because there's things that are out of our control. You know, we're in the waiting room, and it's, you know, our time to be called, you know, out of this waiting room is not yet. And yet how we can look over on the magazines, and we can look at, well, the U.S. magazine, and we go, oh, well, what's going on in the U.S.? And we can start doing that. And why, I just wanted to highlight, you look at waiting rooms, if we could, just to kind of understand waiting in general. And you think about, they put anything to occupy your mind so you don't think about waiting. Because that's the worst thing to do when you're waiting, is to think about that you're waiting. And so, of course, there's magazines, there's TVs, there's an aquarium that's probably $2,000. And there's all this to wait. And, of course, we know that the worst place to wait is places like the license center or the DMV, because there's no aquarium. There's not really any magazines. There's not really anything to do. And so waiting is harder when you can't have your mind occupied by a thought, right? By something to distract it from waiting. And we see how that when we do something that we're supposed to do in the waiting, you look at the person that is, you know, filling out the paperwork while they're waiting, and they're doing everything to be ready, and they're eager, and everything's fine, and they're just going about and doing what they can do. And I think that's just a good application for us, that when we're in the waiting, is doing everything we can to run in this race with patience, to really say, "Lord, what can I do while I wait?" And that's something that really helps us. Just wanted to go into just the different scriptures that the scripture says about waiting. And in Luke, we won't have to go there, but Luke 8 verse 15, "But that on the good ground which are they which with an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." So it's this keeping the word. I just kept finding this over and over again, Brother Don, is waiting is keeping the word. It's constant keeping. And it's, you notice how you've ever been in a waiting room, and it's something that you really want to, you've been waiting and you're just sick of waiting, but then you start reading an article on Reader's Digest, and all of a sudden they say, "Next, Stephen Carlin," and you go, "Oh, I wasn't done with this article yet." And you wonder if you could bring it in just in case you have another time where you can read it again. And that's an example of how much our brains can go from, "Oh, it's not our turn yet," to all of a sudden we're so occupied by a thought or by something that now we're more enraptured with it than thinking about waiting. And I think that that's wonderful, and God made us that way, because we can be enraptured while we wait with the thought of God and with the promises of God, and in keeping our heads, as we always hear from that sister down in Mexico, Sister Rudy, dive into the Word and don't come up for air. And so that us diving into that Word, keeping that, that's what occupies our minds while we wait. And just to put Exhibit A of a bad example of while I waited is I just, you know, look at those magazines, or you know, maybe get on Netflix or Prime Video or all these other things to get my mind occupied while I wait. But what happens is it just makes me more pensive and more nervous and more, what was that? Anxious. Thank you. More anxious in that waiting. It doesn't renew my strength. It distracts me of what I'm waiting for, first of all. I mean, it would just be like if you're waiting for the doctor for a physical, and they give you a bunch of donuts right there. Well, that would be the opposite of what you're going for, because you're wanting a clean bill of health. And you think about that, how we're waiting for our bridegroom to come back. And so what do we do? We make ourselves ready. And so that in the waiting, we're making ourselves ready versus saying, okay, Lord, I'm ready. You know, I'm just going to do these other things. But we know in Revelation 3, it's that hour of temptation that we live in. We have this hour of temptation, and I just feel it so much in my heart. So many times, saints, I confess before you, I have yielded to the hour of temptation rather than diving into the Word of God and holding fast to His promises and holding fast to Him in that hour and that keeping power to overcome in that. And we know that there's those two voices, one from God and one from Satan. And it's Satan's gospel, the pop culture, music, all that is Satan's gospel to pull us away, to distract us. It's the things that he gives us to occupy our mind while we're waiting. And it's just amazing how that we have to be steadfast. Romans 8:25, for we hope for that which we see not, but do we with patience wait for it. Hebrews 12, verse 1, wherefore seeing we are also compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So we have to set aside those other things in order to run this race. And we know it's a race of endurance. It's not a short race. Proverbs 20, in verse 22, say not thou, I will recompense evil, but will wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Psalms 27:14, such a wonderful verse. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Hallelujah. Wait, I say, in the Lord. Twice he says wait. Psalms 37, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. So it's by waiting is a passage, a rite of passage for inheriting the earth itself. Psalms 123, verse 2, behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hands of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord, our God, until that He have mercy upon us. And if you look in the Hebrew, when it talks about waiting, because especially for you young people, is think about waiting. What is waiting? We always think about waiting as just having to do this thing that we don't want to do until we get to the thing that we want to do. But waiting in the Scripture, when we wait upon the Lord, it's an eager anticipation and an eager looking as how it's defined. It's this beholding. You're just waiting for what God is going to say, and just our eyes are fixed. Our hearts are fixed. We have all the dials tuned in, and we're just sitting there. We're eager. We're just, you know, like, you know, the analogy, you know, that we've heard so much lately over the pulpit, about just getting those two crosshairs lined up, you know, and getting tuned in to the Lord, and, you know, just, and there it is. Oh, now we wait. Oh, there it is. And we're all there. We're just waiting. That's what waiting is. So when we wait upon the Lord to renew our strength, it's because we're waiting to hear His voice. We're waiting to be, once again, so as so many times, to just be miraculously fall deeper in love with Him, because that's the voice that we're listening to. It's that eager beholding. It's that eager listening. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Galatians 5, verse 5. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. There's so much in the Bible about waiting, and I hope your minds are just all these scriptures, all these things that about waiting. Think about this. Let's just paint that picture. Let's go back to Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses. And I was just going and just chewing on that. And just going back, and another way to say it would be, seeing we are surrounded by so great a multitude of spectators cheering us on to victory, let us lay aside every last thing that encumbers us or is a protuberance to our haste and exertive effort to the battle and a fight of endurance that is at hand, that is so destinedly appointed to us and is now placed on our horizon. It's this to know that they're all cheering us on and all these things are around us to encumber us, to perturb us, to set us off, to throw us off balance. And they're just cheering us on. You're almost there. You're almost home. Lay aside every weight. I've had conversations with people that have had just the spirit of movies in their life. That was it. That was the only thing. And that's what's holding them back. And they said, well, it's just really hard, you know. That's been the message for 50, 60 years. Well, it's really hard. But that's a protuberance, if we can use a big word, an encumbrance, something that they're cheering us on and we're just running towards the mark and we're pressing. And when we have all of our exerted effort on that one thing, why let ourselves be slowed down? And it's that everything that we wait for, we want to be eagerly expecting Him. And it's amazing how Brother Matt will talk about how that we get so gommed up, he says, G-A-U-M-E-D, gommed up with the things of this world. They just encumber us and they get our mind off and all of a sudden we have that expectation of, oh, that's right, there's that thing. And you can see it in merry-go-rounds in your mind. You go to bed, it merry-go-rounds in your mind. And now it's this, all my thoughts are of this. And there's a consciousness of that. And that's Satan employing our mind when our mind's to be girded up, that these things won't slip. Hold fast what thou hast, that no man take thy crown. You know, crown, of course, is Stephanos in the scripture. And I've heard said that Stephanos means crown, but it's a crown of victory. So it was that one that was given for them running the race. It was the crown of victory. So I never thought about that before. Hold that, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown of victory. And so we're running towards that finish line. As that song says, I'm too close to heaven to lose my soul. And so that we wouldn't take nothing for our journey now, Brother Derek. And how that it's a victory. And so why can't we just lay aside these things? Now just thinking about this, waiting is using the strength from patience and from faith to not act otherwise. That because we know that you take the children of Israel 3 days in the desert after the Red Sea, 3 days. That's all it took. They couldn't wait any longer. And then they said, oh, you brought us out here to die? Just 3 days. Now look at that device of Satan right there. They didn't have patience. They couldn't see what God, they couldn't be held by the promise of God to wait. To think of that. Just exhibit a 3-day event. You look at what Brother Brown said. You know, the original sin happened because Eve couldn't wait. She couldn't wait. And she's in a perfect environment. She's not even in an erotic age. But she couldn't wait. How we see through the scripture, you know, in this day and age, we have to think about, of course, the greatest battle ever fought is in our mind. And it's a battle over our power to choose. You know, as that series preached in 55, the power of God, power of Satan, the power of decision and the power of transformation, how that that's the one power that we are given, is that power of free will. And now those two sides are playing on that back and forth, and they're using everything they can to lever that. And how that you look at in the darkest age, you'd think that if we could get the minds of the people so in a place that they'll just be willy-nilly with their decisions. They'll be weak in their decisions. They'll be easily swayed in their decisions. And you can see this in a path. There's a really good book, non-Christian book, but it's called Indistractable. And talking about how the word indistractable comes from the word to the negative word of traction. So we're pressing on towards the market of high calling in God, and distraction is that not is losing traction, and how that, yeah, I'm slipping, exactly, in biblical terms, and that we hold these things that they won't slip, that we won't be distracted. They say that we actually have, we have attention span of about 7 seconds, and in this day and age, and a goldfish has an attention span of 9 seconds. So we have less attention span than a goldfish. Dear God, help us. Hopefully you all heard that tonight. Because we have to bring these brains and bring these bodies under subjection. And I remember showing, you know, when I was just living in the world, and I was like, Dad, you got to see this movie. And it was just a, you know, kid's movie. But every scene was changing so fast. And he just said, Stephen, and it was very entertaining. He says, Stephen, I can't watch this. The scenes are moving too fast. But they're making that for children and everything where it's like, you know, zoom in, zoom out, explosion, really fast, just because it's such a dopamine hit to the brain to just keep, you know, grabbing your attention. They want to grab your attention. And it's, you know, and to think that what a miracle that Revelations could be all about, he that hath an ear, hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You'd say, this guy's sitting in a corner, like nobody's going to listen to that. And that is such a key, saints of God, is that how much more do we have to be so much more desperately vigilant to say, it's this still small voice. And he's calling us. And we have all this all around us. And we have to lay aside all of that. And we have to choose not to, as Isaiah 58, you know, to put our delight in the Lord and call that a delight. There's something about calling. I've been studying calling. Oh, it's so wonderful. You know, we call things that are not as though they were. And there's a desire in us to say, I don't want to be on Facebook all day. There is a desire in us, I don't want to be on all these different things and only podcasts and not the message and not my Bible audio app. Not getting in the Word, and to be called that, saying, I am a son of God, I am a child of God, I listen to sermons every day, calling it. There's something that's being able to speak it, even though it's not in our lives, but there's a desire in our lives. That's scriptural for us to call it, and because it says, call the Sabbath a delight. And it says, turn from your delights. So we see this. This isn't psychology. This is Christ speaking through Isaiah in Isaiah 58, verse 13, how that it's that mechanical, even though it is from our desire, but saying, I'm going to turn away from my delights, and I'm going to call the Sabbath a delight. Then it says, I will cause you to delight in the Lord, and I'll cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth. Isaiah 40, all over again. It's that renewing our strength, and it's that what we're doing in the waiting. It's there's something that is really wonderful in that. And no wonder the things of God are about being in the waiting and staying in that waiting. Just want to read to you Brother Brandt, what he was saying about that. He says, and the angel, when he was stirring the water, you know, as soon as the first person was healed, all the virtue of the angel went off the water to that person and left. And they didn't wait just for another day, till another season, might be a month, but they waited. We can't wait from one night to another. If we don't get prayed for the first night and healed, there's nothing to it. That shows how times have changed and what a bunch of neurotics in the age we're living in. The Bible said it would be that way, and we're here. It's that condition of the age. So the first thing is recognizing that's the age we live in. And we could say, well, we could just be a backslidden Christian and say, well, Lord knows my heart. I'm just prey to the age. You know, it's going to be the grace of God when I make the rapture. Or we can say, no, we hold fast what we have and no man take our crown of victory to lay aside. That's our job, is to lay aside every weight. And He's giving us the power to will and to do of His good pleasure. But yet, there's something we got to do. We got to run. It's not really fun running, is it? You know, it's really fun strolling. But we're running this race with patience. Amen? Is this all right? Is this okay? Good. Praise God. I'm enjoying myself, so I just pray you are as well. Now it's from Who Hath Believed Our Report in 51. This is from the Junction Time. And if they had been through all these things, when all the world history is climaxing in this great drama, what's the matter? What makes people so nervous? Why is even psychiatrists are coming to get prayed for? Why is the world in a nervous age, a neurotic age, when people can't wait? Brother Branham makes a speeding noise. Down the street, 90 miles an hour. Stop at the beer joint 2 hours before they got home. Run over people. What's the matter? What's everybody in such a hurry? You can't visit with your neighbor. You don't have no friends. You don't know who lives next door to you. Sounding familiar? You ain't got time to do this. You're in a hurry. What's the matter? That's a great drama being set. That's right. And the lion-hungered nation are ravishing in. But just before He gets able to take it, God will take His church. Wow, that lion-hungered nation, ravishing in. He's devouring us. He's devouring our time. You know, we redeem our time. And if I can just go out on a limb here, just the thought that just came to me is, you know, redeeming is what? Being brought back to the original. So what did God make that time for originally for? Is that for us to be, you know, have you ever had this happen before where you just sat down and you just played a tape and you sat on the couch? And maybe just, for me, I just get out my sketchbook and I start drawing about the sermon or something. And all of a sudden, just something settles over me. I say, oh, this is where I belong. And you just feel so at peace. And you don't feel like, I've got to do something. And that's what I feel like all the time. And then when I am in that place, all of a sudden it's a place of rest, like Vinay was singing about. And it's just this hiding place. And that's our hiding place, saints. That place in waiting that we want to be. Amen? Could wait. Those that could wait in the Bible. Look at Noah, how he waited about, you know what, 120 years? And then, in the ark, door shut, 7 more days. Can you imagine that, of having that, where, you know, we're in the waiting room, and we're the longest waiting room in the whole world, and then we go in to see the doctor, and we wait even longer. And there's nothing, there's no sound, there's no nothing, there's no, you know, rain clouds gathering, perhaps, nothing. Yet he's still waiting. I don't think we always think of the patience of Job, but we never hear about the patience of Noah. That's pretty something to be doing that. And you're trying to work while you're waiting, and people are jeering at you and all that. And then they waited again. And then to think about this, how when someone is just being kept by the Word of God and keeping God's Word and doing everything, how he even waited to get off the boat. That would have been really hard for me. If I would have seen that olive branch, I would have said, let's get this door open, let's, you know. And how that he waited until the right time. Is that if it would have been too soon, it would have been dysfunctional. And how that when we wait, we get ahead of God, like even Brother Bram said, I get ahead of God so much. And how, and yet, with the things God wants us to do, he said, I had to push me through a tube. So it's amazing how that, if we just wait upon him, we'll do the right thing, and we won't have to be pushed to do it. This is from Jehovah Jireh. The first year passed, no difference. Going to have the baby anyhow. We love this quote. Why, God said so. 25 years passed. What about it, Sarah? No difference, darling. But glory to God, we're going to have it anyhow. longer you wait, the greater the miracle. Glory to God. The greater the miracle it's going to be. And we can't wait 15 minutes after we're prayed for. And then we're Abraham's children. Oh yeah, we're sons and daughters of Abraham. We've just got our name on a church book, that's all. Sons and daughters of Abraham take God at His word. No matter what comes or goes or who says anything else, it's God's word first at all time. No matter what comes or goes, who says anything else, it's God's word first in all times. If we can remember that tonight, it's God's word first in all times. And there's something that's so prevalent in this day and age, again, hearing His voice, of hearing God's prophets through the ages. I've just been thinking about this so much lately, brothers and sisters, of how you just look at the drama in the scriptures. Nobody cares. Like, even the church will. They don't care. A lot of it, they don't care. I mean, we're surrounded by it every day, those that are out of the house and those that have neighbors and things. They don't care about the great drama that's played out in Scripture and the hope in the Scripture. It's the hope in the church. It's the hope in what the Pope has to say. And there's just being able to fall in love with God's provided way of delivering His message. Just even how God sent prophets. You know, we think about it, in heaven, what are they going to look forward to? They're just going to, if they got into heaven, they're just go up to St. Peter to talk about all the St. Peter jokes. There's no reverence of, just to sit down with the Apostle Paul and just talk to him about, you know, what did it feel like to get stoned until you're thought to be dead and then you're dragged out of town and then left for dead. What did that feel like? And how do you feel the next morning? And just the different things and just the reverence we've lost in this day and age for the prophets. This is from the Queen of the South. In the same vein of Abraham waiting. And we call ourselves the children of Abraham, and we can't wait overnight for God. If He doesn't perform an outstanding miracle on us, and that's why we can't catch what faith really is. Why did He go right into faith? You know, for us that are, like me, that have an understanding of, you know, well, waiting is about waiting with patience. Why does He go right into faith? That's why we don't catch on what faith really is. And thinking about the interlock, you know, the word yoke means, there's something about it that means bearing alongside. So if you're trying to wait, you hit yourself up with faith, and you can pull the load of waiting, and you hook yourself up with patience. But there's something that He's highlighting here in faith. That's why we don't catch what faith really is. Faith is something. It may not take place in your hand if it's crippled, may not take place in your eye if it's blind, but faith takes its solemn stand in the heart. And from there, you call anything contrary to what that faith says as though it was not. And I thought that was wonderful, is that we always say, oh Lord, I'm waiting. Oh Lord, give me more patience. And I never thought about before, saints of God, that it's that, it doesn't matter how long I have to wait. He said it. It's going to happen. You know, imagine us with holding on to that. If we were in the ones in the wilderness, it doesn't matter if we're 3 days without food. We have faith in the promise. He said that He, look what He did with them, brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. We have faith in our God. There's no one like our God. It's faith that brings us through in the waiting. Versus, did you bring us out here that we could die? You think about that. They lost faith in Moses. They it's not that they'd ran out of patience so much as they lost faith. And I think, wow, Lord, help us, Lord, to keep our faith. Amen. Praise God. I was thinking about this. Why do we stop waiting? Because that's when all the temptation happens. You go, that's it. I can't wait any longer. And that's where Satan's got you. I cannot wait any longer. I'm going to take control. I got to do something. And that can be righteous, too. Because there's many times in the scripture where someone couldn't wait and they did the right thing. Because sometimes God's waiting on us. And He's the one doing the waiting. And we think we're waiting on Him, but He's waiting on us. We know that. And yet there are some times where we say, that's it. And we forget that He's Alpha and Omega. And that if we can capture the thought of the Alpha and the Omega and do what He says, all the in-betweens will all come together. And you notice how we do it? It's because we don't understand the Alpha and the Omega. We just do whatever we want to do. Or we say, oh, we're doing this because God wants me to do this. I can't wait, and I'm just going to do it anyways. You know, doing God a service to God of being as well. So we don't understand what He's saying to do. Now, hopefully I haven't got you completely confused, because you could say, well, what do I do? Do I just sit there and wait? No, because we're tapped into, you know, Psalms. When we're tapped into the Alpha and the Omega, that we then everything we do shall prosper, as Psalms chapter 1 says, but it has to have the aforementioned, because otherwise we'll just go into prosperity doctrine, or we'll go into what we want to do, because it's faith without the kind of faith, like we heard Brother Don preach on many times, it's the faith to see the mind of God, faith, the kind of faith that does the will of God and sees the mind of God. So we know that there's you know, misplaced faith, but yet when we're dug in and rooted into the Word of God, and we know where we stand, where it's like I said, the faith down in the heart. That then that's where we know we can everything we do. Maybe there's something where, you know, like Paul said, I was in Asia, but the Lord prevented me. He didn't say, "Oh Lord, shame on me, forgive me." No, he was eagerly expecting from the Lord. See how that's waiting? I think that's, please, I hope you understand that. Imagine that, being Paul, booking his tickets for Asia, wasn't it? And how he was just doing everything, maybe fasting and praying, everything he could do, and the Lord prevented him. That is waiting and doing. That's an example of the right kind of waiting. Because the Lord is saying, no, I want you to go this way. Okay, it's the ear expecting while doing on Him. Like Eve, we are presented with other options while we wait. And then we get so distracted that we don't remember what we're waiting for. So many times that happens. Yet we know, be still and know that I am God. And then quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. All these things are waiting. So in this time that we're living in, you just think of the virtue that can be drawn from in the waiting. How that, look at how Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem to be endued with power from on high. Tarrying, what a wonderful thing for them to be in the upper room for that long. What was it, 120 days? Wasn't it? I'm trying to, 120 days. Waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And you think about that. Oh my. You, 120 people, that's right. 50 days, thank you. Jubilee, thank you. 120 people for 50 days, waiting, tarrying. And think about that. To me, the greatest form of, the greatest weapon of waiting is being laid siege to. We see that in the scripture, right? And that's like being attacked waiting, where it's this foreboding. And yet, look in the upper room, is that, to me, it was like putting their flesh under siege and starving out their flesh until there was no more flesh left. And to think that it just had to be starved out, and where it was like, that's it. No, there's no more left of me. And how that it, then the Holy Spirit could come up down, because every little this and that and pride and everything like that, all the leaven, you know, is out of us. And I just, Lord's been speaking to me on that as well. That's for a different sermon. But just, Lord's been really dealing with me now in my life, because now I have children. So I'm not just a Stephen, I'm a leader. And I have followers, having children and being ahead of a family. And I think, oh man, if I have any leaven of wrong doctrine, of hypocrisy, of pride, of malice, as if you look up all the different leavens in the Bible, all those things, they're going to catch on to that. It's going to, that leaven is going to start leavening them too. And they're going to start be doing those same things. Gossip is also in their leaven. And it's just ruining that bread of life that people are partaking from. And all of a sudden we have our little leaven slant on our witness. Why? Because we're not laying aside all those things to run this race. It's this eager expecting of Him, our eyes, again, focusing completely on Him. Amen. It's the trial of our faith. It's a time trial. Can we say that? It's a time trial. Because no trial is 0 seconds. And how that we, that's ready, set, go, and there's the trial starts. It's a trial of our faith that worketh patience. And so, oh, there's so many scriptures. It's just so much opening. But I hope that's a blessing tonight, and to think that we're eagerly expecting Him every day. He's got something for us every day, and we run this race. We get up, we put our armor on every day. You know, as Ephesians 6, put on the whole of the armor of God, and then we stand at attention. Having done all, stand at attention. We're waiting orders. And to think that we're just in that place as a servant. We've all heard so many things in the Jewish culture of servants, and they'd watch their master, and you know, how he folded his napkin, it meant he's coming back. If he folded his napkin, he's coming back. If he crumpled it on his plate, it means that he's finished with the meal. All these things is just, that's waiting. It's just knowing his every move. And just, you know how Brother Ben would say it, just the verbiage of someone that is waiting is, and then I just said, everybody, just let's just stop. I knew something was fixing to happen. Why? It's someone that's waiting. It's eagerly. And you've had this in your lives. I remember, I probably shared this story about Brother Wes and Sister Erdahl. They were halfway up from Louisiana and had their trailer, and they broke down on the road. And they had to drive this way and that to get tired and all this stuff. And they go, oh, this isn't by chance. This is, Lord is doing something here. And that's an eagerly expectation of, oh, Lord's doing something. Something's fixing to happen. Sure enough, they met someone, a witness to someone, and this whole wonderful thing happened out of it. And just miraculous. And so the great, like I said, the greater the waiting, the greater the miracle. Amen? So just think about this in this time of waiting that we are in right now, saints of God. We're in this waiting. The greater the miracle in our lives. I hope that's an encouragement to you tonight. Amen. Amen. Let's just bow our heads this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, as the song says, teach us to wait. Lord, these bodies, Lord, have been so fashioned so many times, and so many times just we react upon impulse, Lord, of being just dunked in this reality of Satan's Eden, Lord. That's a false reality of the true reality, Lord. And it just makes us so nervous and makes us have anxiety, Lord. And we just want to be immersed, Lord, in that hiding place in You, Lord, and eagerly seeking Your face, Lord. Holding fast what we've been given, Lord. We already have it. We just have to hold on to it. not hold on to what the news says, not hold on to what, if we could just get a word of encouragement from the people of today, or good news, or this or that, but that we could have that the one thing that we can draw virtue from to sustain us, Lord, is to wait upon you, to just wait, to woo you, Lord, to woo you into our closet, Lord, to hear from you, Lord, just one word. Lord, that's what we want so much, Lord. And I know it's hard for the young people, Lord, to understand, Lord. It maybe seems kind of just like spiritual speak, maybe. But to think that when we're waiting for something, it's an eager waiting. It's like a package for a birthday or something. Such a wonderful, wonderful thing. And we keep checking and keep checking. Or someone coming. And Lord, you're coming, Lord. And you're the greatest gift we could ever receive. We're waiting. We're eagerly expecting. Lord, just pray that you just quicken that to each one of us in little ways and big ways. Lord, that we can, in our day tomorrow morning, Lord, in our day tonight, Father, we can just be eagerly waiting for you, Lord, and tarrying for you, listening, Lord, and settling down in your presence, Father. Lord, not just to go on with another day. Yeah, I understand a little more. Yeah, that's great. But Lord, to have, Lord, if we don't have that delight, Lord, like we should, Father, that we can wait, Lord, upon you, Lord, to settle down in your presence, Father. Just give it to us, Lord. Give us the faith, Father, to hold tight, Lord. To say it doesn't matter how long I have to wait. Lord, I want to receive from you, Lord. Lord, just help us, Lord, to cast off those things that encumber us, Lord. Deliver us, Lord. May we not get sleepy from all these things of the world, Lord, to put us into spiritual sleep, Lord. That we not hear the call, Lord, that we've been waiting for our whole lives. How we've been waiting, Lord, for you. Waiting for you to call us home, to say, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord forever. Lord, to hear those words, Lord, I know each one of us would just weep and weep. And just to sit at your feet, Lord. And yet, Lord, we live in the in-between, the Alpha and the Omega, Lord. And Lord, we want our hearts fixed upon you tonight, Lord. If there's anyone here, Lord, who is just saying, that's me, I want to know how to wait. Would you teach me, Lord? Would you just ask him right now? While we're all waiting, would you just say, Lord, I want to commit to waiting, Lord. I can't do it on my own. Would you help me, Lord? I want to make a decision, Lord. Satan's pulling on my decisions all day long to not wait. Oh, you're too busy. It's okay. You know, the Lord knows you're busy. Busy isn't unrighteous, right? But, Lord, how many times have I been too busy, Lord, for you? Lord, and, oh, I'll pray on the way to work. I'll pray when the kids are in bed. I'll pray when I'll really spend time with you, Lord. I'll really wait to hear from you, to check my messages from you, Lord. Help us, Lord. We need you, Father. We live in an age, Lord, where they say that we have less attention span than a goldfish, Lord. We need your help, Lord. This is in some ways seeming comical, but Father, it's a desperate thing, Lord. It's a serious thing, Father. Every second of our day is the Satan is coming to devour as a roaring lion, to devour every moment. So we have no time to wait. We are in a condition where we never can wait. Please help us, Lord, to say, I have time. It's okay, I have time to wait. Please help us, Lord, to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Have that in our way, Lord. We just commit this, each one, Lord, as a temple of the Holy Ghost, Father. We're kings and priests waiting upon you in your hands. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as the eagle. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall run and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. They that wait upon the Lord, oh, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall be new their strength. They shall mount up with wings as the eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Amen. So we know the scripture says, weary not in well doing, for ye shall reap in due season if ye faint not. It's a race of endurance. Yesterday, I was playing with the children, and I decided to be a teenager again, and decided to take a shortcut, racing around the house, and try to jump a railing, flipped over, landed on my head, and slammed my leg on the ground. I had keys in my pocket. I probably impaled my leg with a key. It was swelling, and immediately, Levi says, "Dad, let's pray." And he and Hosanna came over and they put their hands on me and they prayed for me. That's an example of, I believe, what the Lord's saying is, remembering His promises, keeping, right there. It's a key, keeps us every moment of the day. Prayed over me and I said, "I'm healed in Jesus' name." And the guy says, "Is your pain gone yet?" And I said, "I'm healed in Jesus' name." And he said, "Dad, get up." And so I said, "I can just catch my breath." And I got back up and we just raced back around the yard again. Just kept going. And you say, "Well, that's because you just landed on the side of your head, Stephen." But when you feel the pressure on your head coming down from 250 pounds and you hear your neck crack sideways and your socks are almost knocked off, you know that's just got to be the hand of God again and again. So you're so thankful for His keeping power. To Him that overcometh. Amen. And it's the, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Overcome by the word of our testimony. Amen. Amen. Brother Donnie, do you want to close the service? Okay. All right. Amen. So we'll just dismiss as we sing that one more time. God bless you, saints. Keep the faith. Hold tightly to that sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Hold tight enough to it. You fight long enough with it, and your hand, even if you let go, your hand won't let go. It's something God put in you. Amen. Because He's holding on to us. Amen. God bless you. God be with you. As the eagles, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Thank you, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to reign.